Welcome to the datascience.la podcast. I am your host, Eduardo Ariño de la Rubia. At the USAR 2014 conference, without a doubt, one of the overriding themes was Ars history, legacy, and future as an interface into the best of the best algorithms. Romain Francois' package, RCPP11, is at the forefront and was explicitly showcased as one of the ways in which R was staying true to its roots as an interface. An R programmer for over a decade, Romain started as an R-first developer, only later moving to more traditional software engineering languages. In this interview, Romain and I discuss a wide range of topics from R's history as an interface to algorithms, all the way through Romain's experience in HPC and his collaboration with Hadley Wickham on dplyr. Romain also shares a little bit about his other passion, stand-up comedy. Enjoy!
I'm here at USAR 2014 at UCLA, and I'm talking with Romain.
Hello.
So, welcome to USAR. You've been here for a few days. I wanted to ask you, so when you come to these conferences, what do you want to get out of them?
It's usually networking and meeting people and finding out what people have come up in the last year, because there's only so much I can learn during the year. Mm-hmm. So this is a good opportunity to have snapshots of what people are doing and meeting people and yeah.
Cool. So if you could tell me a little bit about what it is that you do in the R community.
Right. So people would usually associate me with performance stuff. So I've been involved in R and C++ for a while. So working with Dirk on RCPP and now working on my own version of that. So yeah, I'm quite interested in getting the tools to write good performance code within R. It sort of resonates with the keynote from John Chambers the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was quite proud to be sort of associated with that. And yeah.
So those of us that were fortunate enough to be here for John Chambers' keynote, mm-hmm. one of the real focuses that I didn't know as somebody who was relatively new to the community was that really S, which R came from, mm-hmm. was designed as an interface.
Yeah,
that's really
pretty
in the DNA.
Much.
Yeah. Can you talk to me about your philosophy of that and how you see that?
I really sort of 100% agree with the keynote from John. So with R, you have all the flexibility of nice graphics and things like this. But then when you want to get into performance, R is not the right language for that, at least not yet. Mm-hmm. And so we just make tools for people so that this is easy to go from the flexibility of R down to performance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So performance is an interesting word, right? Because you can be talking about the performance of individual programmers.
Yeah.
Right? A single programmer can be a very performant programmer. When you're talking about performance, though, you're talking about execution speed.
Yes, so pretty much. And memory efficiency.
Oh, and memory efficiency like that, as well. Yeah, that makes sense, right? With big data, it turns out that matters. Can you talk to me a little bit about how you see performance and where you see potential advancements in performance?
Right. So, I mean, the usual thing is the 5 seconds. If something takes more than 5 seconds, people get distracted, check their Facebook or their Twitter or whatever. So, yeah, I'm just trying to get everything below the 5 seconds.
You're building RCPP 11.
Yeah, and RCPP before that. I'm still sort of involved. Yeah.
So can you talk to me a little bit about just the philosophical and cognitive model of RCPP 11?
Right, so... Yeah, so RCPP 11 is like a fork of RCPP, more focused on modern C++.
Okay.
So using the C++ 11 standard that was released 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of just exploring different ideas about how you'd go about connecting R and C++.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, C++ is such an interesting language on its own.
Yeah.
It's a massive language. It's actually, when I started my degree in computer science, that was the pedagogic language.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it makes any sense to use C++ as a teaching language is a different discussion.
Oh,
different
yeah. Video. Welcome to my world. That was...
Was that also your first language?
No. I was lucky enough so that my first language was R.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I feel special for that, yeah. It's.
So how long have you been developing R?
I've used R for more than 10 years now, I think, yeah. 2002 or something like that.
So So one of the things that interests me about C++ and R by extension, right, is something that Dirk mentioned, is that, you know, you could have five C++ programmers who are all genuinely senior developers, mm-hmm, and they will genuinely all program five different subsets.
Yeah, that's right. C++ doesn't force you into thinking programming in one way. There's many, because it's such a complicated language, but you don't have to know everything for it to give you something useful. Mm-hmm. And it's a really interesting language to express yourself in different way, and you can see some of the people traits, mm-hmm, from how they would write C++. I hope people are not sort of poking into my personality with that.
They're not psychoanalyzing you from your C++.
Well.
So,
people might infer I'm some sort of a sociopath or whatever. But
I don't think that's going to be the case. But we'll see. Yeah. Maybe they'll look at this video and decide to do an analysis. But so you're an R first programmer, which I find really interesting because, I know people that have started in C and C++, yeah, and were forced into R, mm-hmm, because of the desire to get involved in data science, yeah, and analytics. You're actually the first person I've spoken to that went in the other direction, that started in these, yeah, very dynamic languages and, mm-hmm, moved into C++. So you must know R relatively well then.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite feature of R? Is there a thing about R that you're like, golly, that's what sets it apart?
Yeah, not a particular thing, but just like how it sort of fits together.
Well, how it fits together is actually really interesting because it fits together in a way that's very different from other programming languages.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people have talked about the non-standard evaluation.
Right.
Which took me forever to understand. I really, it took me forever to understand. And that's something that if you come from R, mm-hmm, with non-standard evaluation, C++ must seem really boring by comparison.
Well, you don't expect the same things from both languages. Yeah, R is more, you know, experimenting and doing things on the fly and everything. C++ is more sort of, down to earth, mm-hmm, programming. Yeah.
So, if I remember correctly, do you have some websites or some web presence on the internet?
Yeah.
Could you talk to me a little bit about that? I believe you have one also about charts in particular.
I used to have that. I need to maintain it, so it's a bit out at the moment. I used to maintain, that was my way in, actually, in the community.
Really?
Yeah. So I came up with this R graph gallery, mm-hmm, so presenting different graphics and along with the code to make the graph.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and people really like that. I just need to find the time to maintain the website again.
And what's the URL, just so people...
Oh, it's... what is it these days? I don't know. It's called R Graph Gallery. It's
fairly
Googleable, but it's not on at the moment.
Okay.
It'll be back on.
Okay, fantastic.
When I get the time.
So, talking a little bit about... You said that was your in the community.
Yeah, that's... It's... Yeah, so when you land on... And this is your way in, right?
Yeah, this is how I'm getting involved in
right.
the community.
When you get into some community, you need to find a way for people to sort of recognize you for something. And I was just so happy about graphics, and I thought maybe I can contribute something in that direction. Because graphics in R are kind of nice to use, and you can do you can really do what you want, whatever you want. You can express it in a graphic, whether it's a good idea or not.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We've all seen x-axis and y-axis that make no sense.
Yeah. And people do all kind of weird stuff. But, yeah, it's...
You know, it's funny that you mentioned graphics, because in all the prep that I did, other than this one aspect of, of you having this site, mm. I really hadn't seen a lot of talk about you in graphics. But I think that R's visual capabilities are a competitive advantage. Mm-hmm. I don't really know of any other programming environment that has such a beautifully interlaid graphics. And graphics are all about communication.
Yeah.
Is that something that you ever think about how communication works?
Well, we have tons of ways to communicate now with R, and many people are doing bridges between R and JavaScript, whether you see it or not, Shiny, GGVs or whatever. Mm-hmm. it's amazing now how we can communicate what we do with our to people that might not be using it or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Are you involved at all with Shiny?
No. Okay. I'm just so happy I can use it sometimes. Yes, it's a nice way to show some stuff to people.
No, yeah. I agree. It really allows you to be very productive with very little code. So, you know, one of the stars in the community is Hadley Wickham.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
And you've worked quite a bit with him. Could you talk a little bit about what that collaboration is like?
Oh, this has been awesome. He's really fantastic to work for. And, he knows what he wants. But at the same time, I sort of have the freedom to operate how I like, mm-hmm. and so that has been amazing. He's obviously a big in the community these days, and he has been for a long time. That's having the opportunity to work with someone like that has been amazing. I'm really happy to be associated with the work I did with him and what we're going to do in the future. It's been amazing, yeah.
So collaboration is still a really interesting topic, and you're collaborating with this high-power individual. Could you talk to me a little bit about the actual mechanics of the collaboration?
Yeah, so initially what happened was that Hadley wanted performance in some of his code, so he looked into RCPP and sort of picked it up. And then that sort of evolved with him. We did a tutorial together last year on RCPP. He presented most of it. And that was amazing to have someone from outside of the RCPP sort of team mm-hmm. do a tutorial. And, he's such a really good presenter, so that went out pretty well. And then... yeah, it's exchanging ideas on how to do something to get performance, and then it sort of makes sense with the way we manipulate data mm-hmm. with the work we do in DeepLayer. So it's been an ongoing relationship. How would you express that kind of concept? What's the best way to do that?
DeepLayer, to me, has been one of the greatest productivity enhancements since I started my journey.
Okay.
I'm really... well, I had an interview with Hadley, and I joked that it's almost like he's building his own language and using R as an interpreter. It's almost like he's building his own layer on top of it. You know, what are your thoughts on DeepLayer and what it's doing to sort of formalize this approach to what it tries to solve?
Well... for starters, I really enjoy using it, mm-hmm. so I already enjoyed using the concepts before I was involved. In terms of developing it, it's nice to have two different points of view. Al is really sort of interested in making it elegant. Mm-hmm. To manipulate data, and I'm a bit more down to earth, sort of making it everything fast and everything. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting to have both perspective, and you would imagine that they sort of are far apart, but actually we can manage to get both together working nicely. Yeah, we sometimes struggle with, if I want to make this really fast, then I have to...
there's compromises.
Compromise, but it doesn't sort of... from how people use it, they don't see that sort of stuff, yeah.
So, talking a little bit about your development process yourself, you know, you're a developer. Could you talk a little bit about your development process, the tools that you use, the environment that you use, how you go about actually building code?
Right, so... when I use just straight R code these days, I would use RStudio to develop, because it's, you have everything you need there. Well, everything I need. otherwise, I'm probably not someone to follow in terms of development process. I just use standard text editors, not using any IDE or whatever to do C++.
So what standard text editor? Are you a Vim guy, a Sublime Text guy?
It depends. People were amazed that I've been able to use Vi during my tutorial the other day, which is kind of fun.
I'm a Vi guy.
Yeah. Well, usually I use Vi to show people, look, I'm not cheating about anything. If I do it in Vi, then it means I'm not cheating, right?
I hadn't thought of that before. Yeah, no, there's no magic hiding.
I would use JEdit as my editor because I've been using it for years, so it doesn't particularly help me, but you know, that's what I know. I've been sort of trying Atom.
Oh yeah, the new one from Git.
Yeah,
from GitHub. Sorry.
Yeah. I change what I'm using sometimes. There's no particular sort of process, and yeah, there's no particular. I mean, I'm not a sort of a 9-to-5 kind of person. Sometimes I work at night, and sometimes I just don't work for a few days, and that's all right too. I can do that. Yeah, there's no particular. I mean, yeah, it's a bit chaotic. But then, what do you expect from some French people, right?
So, let's say that we had a time machine, and you're able to go back in time to when you first started your journey as an R developer, or just in general. Really a two-part question. So what advice would you give to young you that you can now see in retrospect would have helped along the way?
Oh, if I could meet young me, I'll just punch him in the face. Because you know sometimes when you look at the code you've written like a few years ago and you go what the f?
Yeah,
I was told not to use the f word and I thought it was French.
No, not this time.
The French word. Just be open about about the possibilities about what you can do with R. All right. Okay. I got it. If I can meet younger me, I'll tell him right away. Get on. Write a package. Whatever you do, write a package. Because people would have scripts and stuff around and everything, and it's actually not that hard to make a package. And it makes sense because you have the code and the documentation and the examples all together. And it's really a nice way to make your work available to other people. So, yeah, whenever I do more than a function with more than two lines of code, make a package out of it.
Really?
Even if it's just for yourself, yeah. Make packages is what makes a lot of sense for me. Yeah.
That's really great advice. Nobody's given that advice. That's
all right.
Really fantastic advice, actually.
Okay.
So I wanted to change topics slightly.
Okay.
I was Googling about you to get ready for this interview, and I discovered that you do stand-up.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really interesting to me. I love stand-up comedy. It's something that I go watch as often as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a very courageous thing to want to do.
Yeah.
To get in front and talk. Can you talk to me about how, what was your decision to get into stand-up comedy and how you approach it?
I really enjoy watching comedians, and so something like 10 or 15 years ago, I saw Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And I actually had the opportunity to see a live show in London. Yeah, and I was performing the night before in English in London, which was amazing. It doesn't take a lot of courage. It takes less courage to do stand up than to ask a question on our help. I would say that I'm kind of shy, and so sometimes I wouldn't sort of consider myself as equipped socially to mingle with people and everything. But when you do stand ups, people sort of have to listen to what you have to say, and as long as you can find a way to surprise them and make them laugh, then you get a nice win.
Mm-hmm. Well, and stand-up's also about communication, right? It's a very... All humans laugh.
Yeah.
It's a very unifying thing. comedians oftentimes have a style or a theme. Can you tell me about what you do, your comedic style?
Right, I'm a bit chaotic. You know, we talked about this for the code I write. It's pretty much the same for comedy. I would sometimes do observational humor. You know, pick up random stuff about what people are like. In French, though, when I do comedy in French, I really like to mess with the language, mm-hmm. so with the words, and it, yeah, I guess that's the that's a nice parallel with what I'm doing in software as well, playing with the language and yeah.
So I have a question for you about that. I was Googling about stand-up comedy, and then I Googled about French stand-up comedy, and there was a, I don't know if it's true, there was a joke that the French language doesn't have a word for joke, and that stand-up comedy isn't really, it is, that stand-up comedy in France really is more linguistically oriented. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, we don't have too much stand-up as a way to do comedy. People will do bits with characters.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's sort of trends up now. People are starting to do just come on scene as yourself and you know, tell something. That's what I do. I mean, I just go there and I'm me when I'm there. So I'm a father.
Oh, congratulations. How old?
Yeah, 8 years old.
Oh, fantastic.
And so she saw me once a bit. And she didn't really understand what am I doing on stage and talking, and people are sort of laughing. Mm-hmm. So she came on the scene to sort of rescue me. That was really embarrassing, but sort of fun at the same time. She wouldn't leave the stage. That was fun.
Mm-hmm. So is there anything else that you would like to cover in this interview that we haven't covered?
I don't think so. It's been a nice experience. That's the first time for me. So I hope you get something out of it.
Oh, we got lots.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.